This product is rated everyone 10 and up.
Welcome to the 11th episode of the Civilization 5 podcast series. I'm Elizabeth Toby, and today I'm talking with John Schaefer and Brian Wade at Firaxis to take a closer look at Civ 5's Civilopedia and Tech Tree, two strategic tools you'll need to have a successful campaign. As always, we start big, explaining what the Tech Tree and Civilopedia are, why they are important, and, of course, what Civilization 5 wanted to do with them.
My name is John Schaefer. I'm the lead designer for Civ 5. The Tech Tree, in many ways, is the backbone for every Civilization game. It covers the span of history and includes basic things like mining and writing from the very beginnings of history, and goes forward into all parts of what we know into the near future. So it serves as a place for positioning units and buildings and all sorts of other things that are objects in the game that you can manipulate, or powers or whatever else. And it serves as a way to pace the game. Early on, you don't have future tech, so you can't do certain things that future tech lets you do. So it's necessary to progress through the technology tree in order to gain new things.
Hi, I'm Brian Wade, lead programmer. Well, Civilopedia is really the best source of documentation for the game. Pretty much has the up-to-date rules and values of everything, because it's pulling the data straight from the same places that the game itself is pulling it. So if it says that a unit is strength 75, well, it's strength 75. Manuals, printed manuals, and such get out of date very quickly with changes, and the Civilopedia doesn't. It also has lots of tidbits, and have to give shout-outs to Paul and Michelle for writing lots of background history on all the various things that ended up in there.
I know I'm not alone when I say that the Tech Tree has been a veritable lifesaver in many a Civ game, particularly when playing on a higher difficulty level. Focusing on how you research technology can be the most crucial element for successfully completing your victory conditions. Over the years, the Tech Tree has grown and morphed, and for Civilization V, the Tech Tree has again changed to fit the goals of the development team and work in harmony with gameplay.
The main thing with the Tech Tree that we wanted to do was allow players to look at it and immediately have some idea of where they were going, what they were doing. This was something that was definitely a challenge in Civ 4. Even I had trouble figuring out how to get from one place to another. And a lot of that was due to just how things were laid out and how they were connected together. So one of our goals early on was to try and make sure you could open it up and plot out your course in your head without relying on the computer to pick things for you. Something else that we wanted to do was to make... Not only could you see what you were doing, but also have different, fairly obvious paths through the game. So in terms of the tech tree that we have in Civ 5, the top branch is kind of the naval branch of the game. The bottom branch is kind of the military branch of the game. And there's some economic ones in the middle. It's not that clear cut, but that's an example of how we try to lay it out such that you have an idea of where you're going and you can see it as well.
As with most important elements of a game, the tech tree was created over time and endured many changes as it went from a concept in the dev's mind to a final working element of the game. And while some may think that charting technologies is a relatively simple task, considering everything that goes into making a game, building and finalizing the tech tree was a labor of love and iteration.
Well, the big thing with the tech tree is that it just changes a lot over time. The design of it has evolved quite a bit from where we started. And this is actually something that's kind of different compared to Civ 4, where Soren had a fairly good idea of what he wanted from the tech tree, at least how things were laid out and how they were connected, and then mainly moved items around within them. Whereas the tech tree for Civ 5 actually changed a number of times. One of the things that actually we did was it used to be thinner, so there were fewer text in a single column, but I redesigned the tech tree and we had to redo the interface for it to allow everything to fit, which did not make couple of people too happy, including Brian here, who had to hook it up. But it was for the best. He will agree.
Yeah.
And
you have more choices at any given moment, which was an important change from the previous.
The tech tree is definitely very challenging because you do have a lot of different things that are almost fighting one another. You want to, obviously we talked earlier about having it pace the game, so you can't have techs that unlock things too early. So you can't have techs that give, let's say, tanks in the modern age. Of course, it wouldn't make sense, but also, as an example, you want to have certain things appear before others from a gameplay sense. As I alluded to as well, you need to have it work from a historical perspective. You can't have tanks in the medieval era. That just doesn't work. So even if the game, let's say, would be better gameplay-wise because you had tanks in the medieval era, you couldn't do that. So you have those two that are in some ways very much fighting with one another. So you have that to consider in addition to just, getting everything on there. What belongs in there? If we have this, will people, does that make sense? Are we missing anything? So a lot of different things to consider.
Now, down to strategy. Looking at the tech tree and knowing Civ's technologies is important. But you aren't going to win every time unless you have a solid strategy and tips and tricks at your disposal to exploit every bonus you can.
The idea of the different branches having different themes definitely plays out there. At the very end of the tech tree, you have the lower branch, again, the kind of the military branch, and it leads to some of the more advanced military technologies. The biggest example of that is advanced ballistics, which provides the nuclear missile, which is fairly important for military. On the top part of the tech tree, there's the more cultural and economic stuff that leads you to the Diplo and cultural victories. And the space race is kind of in the middle there in between things like rocketry, which gives you certain units, but also lets you build certain spaceship parts. So kind of all mixes together there at the end. So having an idea of what victory you're going for is pretty important so you can decide which path you're following to win the game. So that's something definitely to keep an eye on. In terms of other things, it's just mainly, I guess, targeting what your needs are at that moment. So if you're, let's say, running low on gold, you want to go for currency in the early game so you can build markets. If you're running low on happiness, you go for whatever will address your needs at that time. If you're going military, there's certain techs that will help you there, of course. So just having an idea of what you need at that time and what to go for to resolve that.
Switching gears, we now turned our focus to the Civilopedia, which is just as big as any past Civilopedia. In fact, the Civilopedia is now so big, one of the things John wanted to concentrate on was how to make all the information within accessible to the gaming community. It's fun to lose yourself in one of the articles, but if you need to find something quickly and get back to conquering the world, then the Civilopedia, with its plethora of information, had to be straightforward and easy to use in order to be successful.
There's a couple things that I really wanted from the Civilopedia in this version of the game. The first was to make it fairly readable, I guess. The Civilopedia does have a lot of information on it, so trying to make sure that you can get to the important parts and things that will help you learn what's going on is pretty important. So one example of that is just how we laid out the text. On the units page, for example, we tried to have what this unit is, very basic information, very prominently positioned, so it's easy to identify those sorts of things. What I really wanted to have was a search, because it's just really useful. You pop in, you're like, what's, the warrior do? And you just punch in warrior, and it takes you to the warrior's page, and you can quit out of it easily. So we wanted to make sure that was something we had.
There's a lot of historical pieces in there. Now, admittedly, I wouldn't use the Civilopedia as an encyclopedia, use it to write reports for college or anything. But
please don't. You will only fail.
But Paul, who was the main writer for that, usually tried to come up with more entertaining pieces of history around characters and countries and little known facts besides the stuff that everyone would normally associate with them. And it was just more to be, give a little more lighthearted view of some of history.
That concludes the 11th episode of the Civilization 5 podcast series. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with the next episode to detail the helpful people you might interact with over the course of a game.